In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. It took us a while to really understand how wise Mary's words had been. She had told us the first time we were in Cana, do whatever he tells you. A phrase that was kind of lost in all the commotion of the abundance of wine that suddenly exploded into the party. But she had told the servants and to any who would listen, do whatever he tells you. When we were in Cana for the second time, a ruler approached Jesus in a frantic panic. My son is dying. He is sick. I need you, Jesus. Come to the house. You need to come. Lay your hands upon my son and heal him. My son is dying. Don't delay. Jesus said some words to that man that seemed harsh. He said, you won't trust, will you, unless you have seen a miraculous sign. The man just insisted, Jesus, come to my house. I need you at my house to save my son. The man had a plan of how Jesus was going to bring life. He had expectations of how healing would happen. But Jesus didn't give him anything, actually, of what he expected. The man was urging Jesus to come to the house, and Jesus instead told him the opposite. No, you go. You go home. I'm not coming to your house. You go home. And your son will live. Amazingly, this man trusted Jesus' word. He did exactly what Jesus asked of him. He dropped his expectations. He dropped his need to have Jesus come to his house. And he decided, well, if Jesus says it's good enough, I'll go home. The journey home wasn't exactly a quick one. He was a few towns away. And halfway to his home, his servants ran out and met him and said, your son is alive. He has been saved from death. And the man asked, when was he saved? And they figured out it was the exact moment that Jesus had said, go home and your son will live. And the exact moment the man had trusted and obeyed. Do whatever he tells you. Mary had said. Then we had traveled down to Jerusalem again for another festival. And in Jerusalem, we were in the northeast corner of the city at the Bethesda Pool. There, a bunch of disabled people would always gather. There was a tradition among our people that when the water of the Bethesda Pool would stir, an angel of God had descended upon those waters, and whoever was first into the water would be healed. Jesus came across one particular disabled man that day. He had been disabled for 38 years. And Jesus asked him what seemed to us a pretty funny question. Do you want to get well? Of course. The man told Jesus, yes, but there's a problem. Every time the water of the pool stirs, I'm not quick enough to get into the pool first. I don't have any friends. I don't have anyone who cares about me enough to get me over into the pool while it's stirring. And always somebody else beats me into the water. I'd love to be healed, but I can't get into that water quick enough. The man had his expectations of how Jesus was going to help him. The pool was the solution. He just had to get into the pool quick enough. This is what the tradition of our people had said for generations. He knew where he needed healing. He just needed someone to get him to that place. But again, Jesus didn't give him his expectation at all. Jesus didn't tell him to go into the pool. Jesus didn't help him into the pool again. Jesus did something that was the exact opposite. He said, get up. Go home. Pick up your mat and walk. And again, the man didn't let his expectations of how Jesus was going to heal him get in the way. Miraculously, he trusted and obeyed. And here was the kicker. It was the Sabbath day for us. Now, if you don't understand, on the Sabbath day, you're not allowed to do any work. And it was very clear among the tradition of our elders that you could not carry any sort of things around on the Sabbath day. Jesus told this man, if you want healing, get up, break the Sabbath, and go home. And the man trusted this word that would get him in trouble with his own people, that would break their law. And he got up. He picked up his mat on the Sabbath, did forbidden work, which you could be killed for, and started walking around. Now, when the authorities saw this man, of course, they were angry. We knew how it went. You could not do work on the Sabbath. And when he was caught, the authorities asked him, why are you doing work on the Sabbath? You know better. They didn't care that he was healed. Why are you doing work on the Sabbath? And the man told him, because the one who healed me, he told me to. That's good enough for me. Well, who told you to get up and walk? And he didn't know. He didn't know Jesus. He had no previous relationship with him. He said, I don't know. He disappeared into the crowd. But later on that day, he ran into Jesus again and learned who he was. And then the authorities said, again, who healed you? Who told you to walk on the Sabbath day? And he pointed them to Jesus. It was then that the authorities wanted Jesus dead. They confronted him about causing people to do work on the Sabbath. They wanted Jesus dead for bringing life. Jesus said a couple things to them that really stuck with us. He said, the time is coming and is already here when those who listen to my word and trust it and do what I say will have eternal life. They will already have passed from death unto life. You think freedom from death comes in the future. I'm telling you, it's already here. I tell you that those who hear my voice and listen already are coming out of their graves. In fact, everyone who hears my word is being sparked to life. Some trust my word and do it, and they find true life. Others are sparked by my word, and they have a resurrection to judgment and destruction. Because they don't listen, trust, or obey. And Jesus told those authorities, oh, you love your Bible. You love your scriptures. You search them backwards and forwards, thinking the scriptures that the Bible gives you life. You think the Bible gives you life. But you don't know life because you aren't listening to me. In fact, the Bible, Moses, your great teacher, has become a vehicle for your destruction now because you use the Bible to ignore me. You use the scriptures to not listen to my voice. And so it is the Bible that is condemning you. It is Moses that has become your very destruction. Life and death. Do whatever he tells you. Those were Mary's words to us. The best advice you will ever be given. Listen again. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Even if it goes against the expectations of what you think brings life and healing. Even if it goes against the expectations and laws of the culture in which you reside. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Let your expectations be thrown aside. Let the laws of your world be thrown aside. The only thing that matters, do whatever Jesus tells you. That is life. The voice of Jesus speaks into our world today. He continues to speak into our individual lives, bringing his truth. The word of Jesus, whenever you hear it, will raise you up. But it can raise you up in one of two directions. To those who trust, to those who listen and obey, the word of Jesus will raise you up and shepherd you into new life. Life that you've always been wanting. True healing and salvation from everything that is holding you down. But as we see with the authorities, the word of Jesus can also elicit another response within you. A response towards death. Some will hear the word of Jesus and their response will be to turn towards death. To silence that voice. To ignore that voice. And the most challenging aspect of all is that we will use things that we believe are sacred and good to shield ourselves from the word of Jesus. We still do it today. We use the Bible to shield ourselves from the simple word of Jesus. We use Moses. We use David. We even sometimes use Jesus against himself. But because we are terrified of the truth, terrified of the life, the healing that bursts all of our expectations, that bursts all the bonds of the laws and expectations of our culture, because of that, we shield ourselves from Jesus. We search the Bible thinking it gives us life. But are we using it to ignore Jesus? Do whatever Jesus tells you. The best advice that anyone could be given. Never forget it. Because the word of Jesus brings life. Not afterlife, simply, but life today. As Jesus said, right now, the dead the dead are hearing the voice of Jesus. May the voice of Jesus raise us who are dead to new life. May we respond with trust and obedience. His word is the only way to find life. Amen.